The book of Matthew chapter 20 is on our heart this morning.
For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour, and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I will give it you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out, and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? Boy, you could make some good preaching out of that verse. Amen. They said unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall you receive. So when the even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. Lord, we thank you for your word. I pray, God, you'd help us to stand today with power to preach your word to your people. God, we thank you, Father, for saving us. We thank you for calling us. Lord, I pray you touch our feeble body this morning and strengthen us and give us the ability, as only you can give, to stand to preach this morning. I pray, God, you'd bless every hearer. Help us, God, to be careful to make application unto our own lives and not to everyone else. Lord, this morning we ask for truth as only you can give it, for it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The last verse in that chapter said, So the last shall be first, and the first last. Last week we were talking about Peter and John, two men that had been with Jesus. And we remember Peter and John when they found out Jesus had had been crucified and buried and on the third day was risen again. When John heard it and Peter heard it, they both began to run to the tomb to see if it was true. John was younger, more swifter of foot, and he got there first. But he was timid, and he stopped outside the tomb and did not go in. Peter was a little older and a little slower of foot, and he got there last. But more courageous in his heart, he went on in. Do you see that the first to get there was last, and the last to get there was first? You could continue this theme throughout the entire Scripture. And I'm certain this morning that this parable will not be likened by the devil. The equal opportunity, what do they call it, commission, Equal Opportunity Commission, the EEOC, they don't like this parable either because they don't feel like that everybody ought to be treated equally. And there's a lot of principles in this text, and the text itself does mean something. I begin to think Matthew's the only one that records this parable. Remember, he's a tax collector. He understood finances. And he understood how finances will reflect the motives of your heart and of my heart. The very first verse in this chapter says, four. That tells me there's a definite link between chapter 20 and chapter 19. Let's read chapter 19 just a little bit and find out why the Lord gave this parable. Verse 27, chapter 19. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? In other words, we've left all. We've been here the whole time. What do we get out of this deal? Look down at verse 30. What did Jesus say? But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Verse 30 of chapter 19 is like a great big parenthesis. And in verse 16 of chapter 20 is another great big parenthesis because the same thought. Do you see it? Look at verse 30 again. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Verse 16 of chapter 20. So the last shall be first, and the first last. Do you see that? Verse 30 said first, first. And verse 16 he said last, first. It's like he put two dog ears around this parable and said, I want you to look at this. It begins with this concept and it ends with this concept. God's measurement is grace. God measures us on the curve of grace. When I'm done, you'll probably say, thank God for grace. Amen? But I wonder if you really feel that way, way down deep in your heart. I want us to look this morning, first of all, at the agreement of this parable. The agreement. We understand that the kingdom of heaven is definitely the realm of the Lord's rule. Definitely that this householder that's going out to hire laborers for His vineyard represents the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the ruler and the owner and the overseer of the vineyard. He's in control. It's His kingdom, the vineyard. And He said, we need laborers. Laborers are few. We've got to hire some laborers. So He goes down to the marketplace early in the morning at 6 a.m. He finds people down there and He says to them, He says, I want you to go to work. And according to the law says that you're to give a day's wage for a day's work. That was the law. That was the custom. And He said, I tell you what. He said in verse 20, He said, I'll give you a penny a day. And they agreed to that. Do you see that word in verse 2? They agreed to those terms. The time they're going to work is at 6 a.m. They're going to work all day and get a penny. Now you may say, boy, that's cheap. Pay somebody just a penny. Well, in the Roman times here, it was the word denarius, which is representative of enough pay to buy your food and your lodging and your clothing for that day. It would meet your daily needs, subject to your daily bread. And He said, I'm going to give you an honest day's wage for an honest day's work. And at the end of the day, not at the end of the week or 2 weeks later, they got paid every day for what they did that day. You may say, hey, now I kind of like that. Oh, really? Well, He's going to pay them one penny for one day's work. Anybody have a problem with that? Nope, neither did they. They all agreed to those terms. Well, He went out and they began to work and He saw, you know what? We need more workers in the vineyard. We have more room. We have more work. Things aren't going to get completed. So He goes out, the Bible says, at the third hour, which is 9 a.m. He saw others still standing there idle in the marketplace. Look what He says to them in verse 4. He says, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I will give you. He didn't say He would give them a penny. He said, I'll give you what's right. Well, they must have agreed to those terms, because the Bible says they went out into the vineyard. They begin to work at 9 o'clock in the morning, and they're going to work until 6 o'clock in the evening. And the Lord of the vineyard looks out and says, you know what? We could handle more workers. And I've got enough money to pay a few more people, and I'm going to go back out in the marketplace and see if I can hire more. That's the grace of God. Hey, you can't exhaust grace. He says, I'm going to go out and hire more. And the Bible says He goes out, verse number 5, in the sixth hour, that's at noon, and He hires them. He says, whatever's right, I'm going to give it to you. The Bible says He goes out at the ninth hour. That's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And He sees others still standing there, not working. And He says, do you want to work? Sure. I tell you what, go work in the vineyard, and whatever's right, I'll give it to you. Yes, sir. And they go to work from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. They're going to work a 3-hour shift. He goes back at the 11th hour. He still got more grace. He goes back at the 11th hour. He found others standing there idle. He said, why are you standing here all day idle? And they said, nobody's hired us. He says, I want you to go out in the vineyard too. And he said, whatever is right, that shall you receive. They're going to work 1 hour. And he sends them out into the vineyard to go to work. What about that? The law says you're to give a day's wage for a day's work. Does anybody have a problem with that? You see, that's what a lot of people think, that you're still under the law. They said, we've been hired on time. We've agreed to the right terms here. You're going to pay us in return for this. We've agreed to all this. They went to work with the law as their guarantee. Does anybody have a problem with that? I sure do. Listen, the law ain't never done nothing for nobody. We broke the law. The law said the wages of sin is death. The law said the soul that sinneth, it must die. Let me tell you what how you act with the law as your guarantee. You may say, preacher, I'm thankful for grace, but you believe the law is your guarantee. Preacher, I go to church. I tithe. I'm faithful. I deserve better than to have a flat tire on my car. I deserve better than to have some sickness. I deserve to be treated better than I'm treated by others. I deserve to be treated better than I'm treated by heaven. I mean, I'm a good boy. And I'm a good girl. And I believe I ought to get an honest day's wage for an honest day's work. And I shouldn't have no problems with that covenant, with that agreement. Hey, let me tell you what the law says. The wages of sin is death. You know what you deserve? You know what the law is? The law is guaranteed. The law says you deserve hell. I don't like that. I don't like that law. I don't like that law. The Lord of Vineyard says, you know what? I'm not going to pay you according to the law. I'm going to pay you according to grace. Whatsoever is right, I'm going to give you that. Let me tell you what, I deserve a few problems in my life. I deserve hell. I deserve death. I deserve the grave. But God saw fit by His grace to save me. Amen. And give me things that I don't deserve. I don't deserve to get to stand here and share the Word of God. I don't deserve eternal life. I don't deserve the blessings that He's given me, but I sure am thankful. So this morning, the law is not my guarantee. God's grace is my guarantee this morning. His mercy is the hope of my heart and my soul. And I praise Him this morning because He will give us what is right. Second of all, I want you to look at the account. They're going to come a payday one day in verse number 8. So when the even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, call the laborers. Do you see that? They didn't just come up there and stand in some line and say, I'm here, give me my money. When the even was come, when the work day was over, the Lord of the vineyard said, I made a promise to them. You call them to come. I'm going to pay them. I'm going to compensate them. I'm going to reward them as I told them that I would. I'm glad, amen, that I was called into the vineyard to work for the Lord to start with when He saved me. And I'm glad one precious golden daybreak at the close of the day, it'll be Him that calls and says, it's time to come home. I'm going to give you your due rewards. Amen. Well, the Bible says that they came and He began to give them their hire beginning from the last unto the first. Meaning that those that were hired at 5 o'clock and only worked 1 hour, those that came at the 11th hour, He has them stand up. And He gives every one of them that worked 1 hour a penny. He brings those that came in at 3 o'clock. He gives them a penny. Them that came in at 12 o'clock, they got a penny. Them that came in at 9 o'clock, they got a penny. Well, evidently the first group that worked from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. put in 12 hours. I believe they noticed the first group that worked 1 hour and got a penny and said, you know what? They got a penny for 1 hour's work. We're going to get 12 pennies. We've worked all day. We're going to get more. The Bible says in verse number 10, when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. Huh. I promise you this. There will be a payday someday. God will be faithful to reward you for your service. But your service is not, listen now, your reward is not based on your service of years. It's based on grace. The last got paid just as much as the first. I can tell by the look on your face you don't like that. That's why God told me to come preach to you and tell you that God's grace here is the measure stick. It is not what you think, it's what He says. Amen. The last shall receive as much as the first. Thirdly, we've seen the agreement. We've seen the account. He paid each one just as He promised. Thirdly, the accusation. And when they had received it, in other words, after they got their payment, they murmured against the good man of the house. Ain't that what you do when you get your paycheck? Come on up. Lord God, worked all. Hey, I've been there. Don't look at me like I'm treating you funny this morning. I know exactly the way you think. Look at FICA. Federal tax. State tax. I worked all that and this is all I got left. I think there's some mistake. I'm owed more than this. Come on, church, I'm preaching to you. Somebody ought to say, amen, preacher. That's the way we feel. I will give an altar call after a while. We're going to settle this thing up, amen? Ain't that the way you feel? Man, bless God, I don't know so much about this. So they begin to murmur against the good men of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal with us. In other words, that ain't fair. We worked 12 hours, they worked 1 hour, and we've got paid the very same thing. We have a problem with that. You see, they thought they were supposed to get 12 pennies. Their attitude was that they were treated unfairly. Now, what was their agreement? You work all day, 12 hours, and you get one penny. And they said, no problem. But at the end of the day, when those that worked 1 hour got one penny, they're upset. They wanted to change things. Now, the standard of their measurement was not their master's goodness, but their own goodness. They thought it ought to be as they saw fit, not as the master sees fit. You see, you measure your expectations by your own efforts. And what is your motivation? Is your motivation a labor? When you serve the Lord now, when you serve the Lord, is your motivation out of love for Him or out of love for self? I want people to see me and I want people to notice me. Why do you do what you do? Your expectations then reveal your motives. I found out when I work for the wrong reasons, when something unexpected happened and I got bent completely out of shape, my response was wrong because my motives were wrong. You get upset and bent out of shape, it's because your motives was wrong. You expected the wrong thing. You said, I thought It ought to be this way. Hello? It's not based on what you think. It's not based on the securities and the guarantees of the law, but it's based on the goodness and the grace of God. Well, I don't like that preacher. I'm sorry. But that's the way the good man of the house has it set up. But to be honest with you, I'm thankful it's that way. Let me mention one little thought right here. Look at his answer, fourthly. We've seen their bad attitude. You know, this discouragement that they feel. You know, this upset response. You've been there, ain't you, a time or two. How come they got such and such, and I got neglected? Oh, Lord God, I've been there in the marketplace, I promise you. I've been there. And if you ain't careful, it'll happen in church when you're supposed to be spiritual. That ain't right. Huh. Your discouragement is noted, but it is a direct reflection on your self-reliance and on your self-motives. You said you was relying on God. If you was really relying on God, you wouldn't be upset. But because you was relying on self, that got you bent out of shape. Preacher, what in the world are you trying to tell me? I'm trying to tell you, you got your expectations wrong because your motives is upside down. God's trying to speak to you and show you. He's trying to show you something. And you've seen it, but you don't want to think you've seen it because you don't like what you saw. You don't want to accept it. Let me tell you something. You better accept what God wants you to have. It'll be right. Preacher, I ain't getting it. Look at his answer. He says in verse 13, he answered one of them and said, "Friend, what about that? When they're complaining and murmuring and backbiting and talking about him and testing him down, he calls them friend." He starts to say, "Don't you remember when you were idle, I called you? I'm the one that hired you. Everyone that I called that was willing to step out of the marketplace, I hired. And everyone that I hired, I had an agreement with. I had a promise I made to. And everyone that I promised, I delivered. I'm as good as my word." And he called him friend. "When you were idle standing in the marketplace and the devil was bargaining for your soul, trying to take you and want you to go to hell, he said, 'I hired you to dress the vineyard.'" What does it mean to dress the vineyard? It means that you're going to prune or be pruned. You're going to dig or be dug on. You're going to water or get watered. You're going to fence or be fenced. You're going to go out and do some weeding or be weeded. Amen? That's what it means. Hear me. The Scripture teaches us very plainly, you are not your own. You've been bought with the price. That price was the blood and the life of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus called him friend. He said, "I do thee no wrong." You realize God's done right? He fulfills His promise every day. Heaven and earth will pass away, but His words will not pass away. He says, watch here. He says, "I did thee no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a penny? Was that not our agreement? What's your argument? Your argument's based on what? The law? The law says you ought to go to hell. The law says I could send you to hell. But I didn't send you to hell because I graded you on grace. And you want grace here, but you want law there." The Galatians had that problem. The Corinthians had that problem. The Colossians had that problem. The Philippians had that problem. The Romans had that problem. And Bethel Baptist Church has got that problem. You want law and you want grace. It don't work that way. You want grace when grace is convenient to you, but you don't want grace for nobody else. You want law. It don't work that way, y'all. He said, "I have not done you wrong." Amen? He says, "Take that thine is and go thy way. Paid you, I've rewarded you. Look how good I've been to you, friend. I have blessed you beyond measure. And you speak again me." What about that? He says, is it not, take that thine ears, go thy way, I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. What about that? Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? You understand? Look at me. God is impartial. You look me right in the eye. I want to look you right in the eye. I wish I could look every one of you. God is not impartial. He sees every one of you as the same. And you're equal in the sight of God. You should be equal in the sight of one another, brothers and sisters in Christ. Preacher, I don't know about that equal stuff. Bless God, he said, I will give unto this last even as unto thee. He made things equal. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? Thine eye evil. Thine eye evil. Such that out. Over there in 1 Samuel. When Saul had an evil spirit come upon him. And God had already anointed a new king because he had rejected Saul because of his actions. Am I preaching it right? Saul was rejected because of his actions. God told Samuel, anoint a new king. He went down there, saw all them boys. God said, it ain't one of them. He said, Jesse, got any more boys? He said, I got one out 10 in the sheep. He said, go call him. He was called. He went out there, got him. God said, that's him. Anoint him with oil. He's to be the king of all Israel. I don't even think the boy knew. I don't think God said, I'm calling you to be king. I think the man of God came out and God said, you're to be the king. I am? Me? The favor of God fell upon him. The grace of God surrounded him. Amen? When Saul was rejected and got into trouble and had a bitter and an evil spirit, here come old David in to play on the harp. He had the grace of God on him. He had favor. I mean, they went out to battle and the women would sing and dance and said, Saul has slain thousands. Boy, that's great. What a hero Saul is. But David has slain 10,000. 10,000. How come they like David more than me? I'm still the king. Am I not? Are you with me? The Bible said Saul eyed from those days forward. His eye became evil towards him. You see, they shouldn't have been looking at what those got at the 11th hour. Or at the 3rd hour, the 6th hour, the 9th hour. Should have been concerned about themselves and their relationship with the Lord. They're only concerned about everybody else and what they got. Hey, how'd you like to go down to where you work and everybody got together and compared paychecks? I'll show you mine if you show me yours. Why don't you? Why? Hey, can I ask you a question? Why don't you show all your friends your paycheck? I'm waiting. We'd have a problem, wouldn't we? Somebody'd find out, hey, I do that. I've been here longer than you, and you making a dollar more an hour than me. Bless God, that ain't fair. But they still got paid what they agreed to be paid, but they didn't like it. They wanted it to change. Am I preaching or not? Preacher, you're preaching too long. Well, here we go and I'm done. We've seen the agreement, the account, the accusation, the answer. Now let's look at the application. So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. God rewards all His workers. His standard of measurement is not law, but it's grace as He meets our needs. It is not based, hear me this morning, it is not based on seniority, on how long you've served God compared to somebody else. See, a lot of people have a problem with that. I went to the hospital to see a man. He was dying. Cancer. And I talked to him of his salvation.
And he called on, listen, the first time he told me to leave his room. The second time I went back, he said, don't ever come back again. Both times I prayed in the hall as I left. But I came back the third time and I walked in, his daughter met me and said, he's been a preacher, talk to me about this salvation thing. I said, begin to minister to him the gospel of Jesus, and he said, preacher, I believe now I want to be saved. I've thought about it for two straight days. I want to be saved. And he got saved. 2 days later, he died. Do you know where he went when he died? Did he go to heaven? Yeah. Okay. I went back to where I was working. And I told one of my friends at the table over lunch what had happened. And he slammed his hand down on the table. That ain't fair. So what do you mean? Did he go to the same heaven that Apostle Paul went to? Yep. Oh, Apostle Paul served him most of his whole life. I said, Apostle Paul wouldn't tell you that. Well, it ain't fair. There's people that served him for 80 years, and this fellow served him 2 days. It ain't fair. Can I ask you about the thief on the cross? Do you think that was 11th hour conversion? You think he got into paradise just like Jesus said? Do you have a problem with that?
No, sir.
Glory to God. Same place we're all going to go one of these days. It's equal. Not based on seniority. Amen? The Jews had a problem with that. That's who he's preaching to here. They said, we're looking for the Messiah to come. He said, we've hired you Jews that believe, sixth heir, third heir, sixth heir, ninth heir. But at the 11th heir, he said, since the Jews have rejected Jesus, I'm turning to the Gentiles. And we were grafted in that would believe on the Lord in the 11th hour. Are you with me? The Jews don't like that. They said, we're God's chosen people. We've been here longer. But I'm glad God's been... Hey, the truth be known, you're so glad that you got into the 11th hour. Amen. And you're going to get the same heaven and the same payment that those God... Glory to God, that ought to put a stir in your step and a shout in your soul. Say, woo! God's made it equal. I don't deserve equal. I don't deserve anything. But He's made it equal. And that blesses me. You like that, don't you? But then when it comes right down to it, you'll look and say, well, I've been at Bethel longer than he's been here. And I really ain't. Tommy's been here longer than me. Right? And we start looking at who's been here longer. Who's new and who's not new. And you start waiting the thing. Wait a minute, where was your shout a minute ago? You like getting into the 11th hour. You like what's happened there, amen. Oh, that was fine. But now, amen, that you've been here longer than somebody else and you feel like you have more rights. Let me tell you what, when God looks at this church, He sees every one of you the same. If you come up and join this church this morning, you got the same vote as somebody that's been here from a charter member. There is no more weight with me or no more weight with God that you've been here longer. After all, let me tell you this. I'm relatively new too. I came into this church new. Hey man, I came in here new. I want to tell you what, I want to work and I want to make sure that when new people come to this church, they're treated the same. Amen? As everybody else. And you may say, well, that's the problem. Us older ones don't like the fact that you're better than new ones than the old ones. I ain't no different. And God ain't no different. Preacher, why are you preaching that so hard? Because God got me up at 4 o'clock in the morning and He said, right there it is. Put your nose in it and study it. I'll give it to you. It's not based on seniority. It's not based on your skills. Not based on your ability. Well, you have a voice to sing and everybody sees you sing, or you have a voice to preach and everybody recognizes you as a preacher. But God's not going to treat you any better as a singer or as a preacher than He treats a common person sitting in the church pews. Every one of us has been given a gift, and some may be more exposed than others. Hey, but it's not based on your abilities. Not based on your gifts. God's reward system is all the same. It's not based on superiority. Not based on you have it, you're the office of a deacon. And as the office of a deacon, you feel like that you're above everybody. No. I tell you this, but if anything, you're under everybody. You're trying to undergird them and lift them up. Hey, it's not based on superiority. Let me move quickly. It's not based on what you strive for, your ambitions, or what you think about yourself. You tell everybody what you think. Amen, preacher. You're telling it right. But it ain't based on what you think. It's based on what God says. It's not based on supposition. It's not based on the impression you make on others. Everybody else may say, golly, look at him. He's a gym dandy. He's a fine un. He's a good un. It's not based on what other people think about you. Come up and say, well, I tell you what, the impression I get, them boys have been here longer, and I think that's what... Not based on that. It's based on what the Master says. It's based on grace. Equal treatment. Amen? Well, not based on your success. How much you've done or how... Listen, let me tell you a little bit about success. Preacher Carver preached at this church for 20 years, and he planted a lot of seed. And God's allowed me to come in and preach behind him. And some of the success I saw is owed to his preaching from years back. Right. See, it wasn't my success.
Amen. Right.
And after all, if you want to just get right down to the heart of it, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Any success you have, you should have never got to start with. You only have success because God's blessed you. Because Jesus has been good to you. All the success that you have, or this church has, or your family has, hey, it's because God has given it to you. God grades this thing on grace. Hey, is your standard of measurement grace? Or is it grace and law? I want grace for me, but law for everybody else. Amen? It's got to be grace. Grace, grace, all the way. Well, if you're not careful, you'll have a false view of your own value. Let me say this morning, down in verse 20, and I'm done. We saw what Peter said back in chapter 19. Lord, we've left all to follow you. What do we get? Is that something? Down in verse 20, then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children and her sons worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? She saith unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on thy left in thy kingdom. What about that? She wasn't going to be treated equal. She wanted her boys to be preferred. She wanted her family to be above everybody else. We want acknowledgement here, Jesus. That's wrong. Hey, when Jesus told Peter, this is how you're going to wind up. This is how you're going to die. Peter turned around and says, well, what about him? Talking about John. What about him? I mean, when the tomb was empty, he may have got there first. I got there last, but I went in. What about him? He said, you quit worrying about everybody else. You worry about you. Amen? The Lord is looking for laborers in this church. He's looking for laborers for His kingdom. He's looking for laborers who want to work for Him, not who wants to work for themselves. Again, you measure your expected blessings by your own efforts. But Christ wants you to labor out of love for Him and not for yourself. I'm going to ask you this morning, do you feel this morning unloved? Do you feel neglected? Do you feel unappreciated? I've been in this church a long time and I'm unappreciated. Is that God's fault? No, it's the preacher's. He's better to somebody else than He is to me. Well, see, that reveals your motives. You wanted attention. I'm telling you, that's right. You want attention. Let me tell you what. There are nights that I lay on my face before God and I pray for every one of you. Just alike. God help. Now, I'm going to tell you what. If your members, you got a body, right? If your hand is blessed, does your leg get mad? I was preaching one time and I was preaching, God said, take off your shoes and your socks. And I thought, oh, because I'm on the holy ground. God said, no, because your toes said they want to be seen. They're jealous of your fingers because your fingers, people always looking at your hands because you always talk with your hands. And your toes said, we never get attention. I didn't understand it. I took my shoes off and I preached barefooted for a long time. And my feet got cold. My feet's bad to get cold. When my feet get cold, my throat gets sore. That's what happens. And I'll be honest, I started getting a sore throat. My throat said, "Hey, we got a problem." I looked down at my toes and they said, "That's enough. We're cold. We're doing something we shouldn't be doing. We're supposed to be covered up behind the scenes. Nobody can see us. Nobody can smell us." But what we do for the body is, we realize now, it's not about us being seen. We're the ones that helps you stand up so your hands can be seen. We're all working together. The big toe is what brings balance. God's looking for some big toes in this church. Not to be seen or heard from. Amen. But just say, you know what? We're all members of the body of Christ. If the hand is blessed, does the foot not receive a blessing as well? Does it not encourage the feet when the hand is blessed? Well, you say, "Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to leave." You spend all your time thinking about how you've been treated. "I've been neglected. I've not been treated right." When the whole time you've been sulking, how have you treated others that may have been thinking the same thing? "Boy, I've not been treated right by them," because you're sulking for yourself. Don't you know it's what the devil wants? If he can get you sulking and get them sulking, and we got a bad problem. Amen? Instead of you sulking for yourself, you ought to go try to help somebody, encourage them. Call them, love on them a little bit. "Well, I'm done. That's what God gave me. It's been scattered. It's been like a shotgun." You stand to your feet this morning. I'm not preaching this to try to hurt anybody. But I'm telling you, if you've said, if you've thought, if you've got some motive, I'm telling you, as flesh, you ought to crucify it. Because it is just possible you could pull some stunt like that in yourself and have hard-hearted towards something. And you don't even understand it. You need to worry about you, friend. Someone come play the piano and organ this morning. I want to face somebody here and say, "You know what? I'm thankful that God's standard of measurement is grace." And I tell you what, I get that mixed up so many times. I'm thankful for grace. I'm thankful. And I want to bow to altar and thankful for grace. But then I start looking at things and I want to judge things and I want law. And I'm wrong. I'm wrong. I want to hit that old-fashioned altar this morning. I want to pray. I want to pray for our church. I want to pray for the future. God knows the needs this morning. Folks are moving all over the house of God. God, I want grace. God, would you send grace and mercy? Lord, I desire that this morning. Some of you come in this church and said, "You know what? I felt welcome here as a new person because you got equal treatment." That's what we want to see continue. That's so important, church, is that you that have been here you prefer one another before yourselves and you treat each other equal. Boy, I pray that you'd continue that work. That's hard to do, I know, to mortify yourselves and slay some things in your life. But I tell you what, God will bless you for it, church, in a mighty way. And He'll make you feel welcome.